This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 13 من شهر رجب 1446 الموافق ل 13 من شهر يناير 2025 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So last درس, if I'm not mistaken, we were talking about the شرط من أشراط الساعة قبض العلم وظهور الجهل. Knowledge will be taken and jahl will replace the knowledge in the community. And if you remember, we talk about the statement of Imam al-Dhahabi. He says, وَمَا أُوتُوا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. He talks about some of the scholars. He says, these ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them little knowledge. وَأَمَّا الْيَوْمِ, you know, he said, those scholars, they are given little from the knowledge. He said, as for today, you know, he is talking about the scholars that preceded him, before him. He says, as for today, فَمَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الْعُلُومِ الْقَلِيلَةِ إِلَّا الْقَلِيلِ. You know, he says, those ones are given a very little amount of knowledge. He says, as for today, what remains from that little is little also. Very qaleel. They have only little, and now from the little also we have only little left. فِي أُنَاسٍ قَلِيلٍ. Amongst people who are very little also as well. ما أقل من يعمل منهم بذلك القليل. And among those قليل, amongst the people, also only few of them using the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. So he says, فَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. So he's describing his time. He says, فَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. That's 700 to 800 years ago. Like that. So today, I don't know what will be the comment from Al-Dhahabi, if he's to be alive with us. قال وإذا كان هذا في عصر الذهبي فما بالك بزماننا. The Mu'allif says, if this is the situation, that was a situation in the time of الذهبي, what do you think about our own time? فإنه كلما بعد الزمان من أهد النبوة قل العلم. سبحان الله. And that's absolutely true. He says, the more you are distant from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more far you are, the lesser knowledge you have in the community. وَكَثُرَ الْجَهَلِ. And jahl is going to be rampant. فَإِنَّ الصَّحَابَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ كَانُوا أَعْلَمَ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ ثُمَّ التَّابِعِينَ ثُمَّ التَّابِعِينَ. Because the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the most knowledgeable in this ummah. وَكُمْ السَّلَامُ تُرْكِي. They are the most knowledgeable one in this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ثم التابعون. And then the تابعون, their students, those people who follow them. ثم تابعهم. And those people who follow the تابعين, أتباع التابعين. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, خير القرون وهم خير القرون. And these are the best generations. The best generation. You will never see a generation that is similar to that generation. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, خير القرون قرني, خير الناس قرني. Say the best people, they are the people in my time. ثم الذين يلونهم. And then those people who comes after them. ثم الذين يلونهم. And those people who comes after them. And that's why عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة is to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم according to the understanding of these three generations. You know, that's it. If you follow this, you are a Sunni, somebody who is following the correct aqidah of the Salaf al-Saleh. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he was asked about the sect that will be saved from hellfire, because he said, my ummah will be divided into 73 groups. The Jews, they were divided into 71, and the Christian, 72. And the Muslimin, 73. He says, كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ. All of them will be going to hell, إِلَّا وَاحِدًا, except one. They ask him, which one is that? He says, مَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمَ أَنَا وَأَصْحَابِي. The one who is upon my way and the way of my companions. The one who is upon my way and the way of my companions. So the manhaj, or the correct way for a person to behave towards Rabbul Alameen, is to hold upon the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the companions, the student, and the student of their students. That's it. Whatever you need to practice the deen, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, is there. You don't need to go out. And whatever tells you that you need to go out of that time for you to understand the deen, wallahi, is a big cheater. Somebody who wants to cheat. He's just cheating you in that which he is giving you. He's a deceiver. Yeah? Somebody who has nothing except to twist the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put it in his own way. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa al-afiyah. وَلَا يَزَالُ الْعِلْمُ يَنْقُصُ وَالْجَهْلُ يَكْثُرُ حَتَّى لَا يَعْرِفُ النَّاسُ فَرَائِذَ الْإِسْلَامِ. And he says, we'll keep on living in this situation. Knowledge is decreasing. And knowledge is decreasing. وَالْجَهْلُ يَكْثُرُ. And ignorance is increasing. Knowledge is going down and ignorance is moving up. He said, we will keep on receiving this. حَتَّى لا يعرف الناس فرائض الإسلام. Until the time people don't know the fara'id of Islam. Yeah, people don't know the fara'id of Islam. فقد روى حذيفة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدرس الإسلام كما يدرس وش الثوب. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, حتى لا يدرى. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يدرس الإسلام كما يدرس وش الثوب حتى لا يدرى ما صيام ولا صلاة ولا نسك ولا صدقة ويسرى على كتاب الله في ليلة فلا يبقى في الأرض منه آية وتبقى طوائف من الناس الشيخ الكبير والعجوز يقولون أدركنا آباءنا على هذه الكلمة يقولون لا إله إلا الله فنحن نقولها فقال له صلة ما تغني عنهم لا إله إلا الله وهم لا يدرون ما صلاة ولا صيام ولا نسك ولا صدقة فأعرض عنه حذيفة ثم ردها عليه ثلاثا كل ذلك يعرض عنه حذيفة ثم أقبل عليه في الثالثة فقال يا صلة تنجيهم من النار ثلاثا الله أكبر. Hudhayfa ibn Yaman said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the signs of Islam will be fading, you know, one after the other. Just like the word, the cloth, you have the cloth when they are new, and then now they started to fade, to change. This is how Islam will go gradually. The same way that it is happening to the cloth, it has also happened with Islam. It will go gradually, slowly, slowly. قَالَ كَمَا يَدْرُسُ وَشُّ الثَّوْبِ حَتَّى لَا يُدْرَى مَا صِيَامُ. So the signs of Islam, those sha'air ad-deen, those things, when you see them, you know that Islam exists, they will be fizzling, you know, slowly, slowly and gradually. حَتَّى لَا يُدْرَى مَا صِيَامُ. We are going to reach a time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when people don't know what is siyam. SubhanAllah. People don't know what is fasting. Wala salatun. And people don't know what is salah. Wala nusukun. And people don't know what is hajj. Wala sadaqatun. And they don't know what is charity, what is zakah. Yani, they don't know the pillars of Islam except one. And even that one, they just know in the way you will hear, inshallah, in the near future. But they have no idea about what is salah, no idea about hajj, no idea about siyam, no idea about zakah. قال ويسر على كتاب الله في ليلة فلا يبقى في الأرض منه شيء. You know, in one night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove يسر على كتاب الله. In one night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the Quran في ليلة, in one night. سبحان الله. قال يسرى على كتاب الله في ليلة فلا يبقى في الأرض منه شيء. In the way you don't have a single part of the book of Allah SWT on earth with the people. So you can imagine how much bad is the condition at that time when no Quran remains. Even Fatiha that you memorize will be taken away from your heart. You go back to your Quran at home, you see blank page. No writings on it. The Quran is gone. Yusra ala kitabillahi fi layla, everything is gone. But that's what is on the earth, right? That's why he says, Hatta la yabqa fil ardi minhu shay. Until the time you don't have a single part of it on the earth with the people. But the real Quran with Rabbul Alameen, that one is not going to be gone, because Quran is Kalamullah. Wa Kalamullah sifa min sifati al Bari Azza wa Jal. Sifa min sifati Allah Azza wa Jal. So Ibn Abi Zayd al Qayrwani says, ليس بكلام مخلوق ليس بمخلوق فيبيد ولا صفة لمخلوق فينفد. سبحان الله. He says Quran is not مخلوق. You know, in the time of the دولة الاعتزال, the معتزلة, سبحان الله, they force people to accept this evil concept that Quran is مخلوق. And it's very dangerous. That's why the scholars are very staunch. Many of them have been punished because of this. Many of them, to get out of this useless, stupid kind of approaches, they have to do the tawriya to get out of the problem. But people like Imam Ahmad refuse to go with that tawriya. Because at the moment you accept that Quran is kalamul al-makhluq, aw makhluq, that means the possibility of it getting destroyed is always there. And that's very dangerous. Yeah, tomorrow I will tell him, قال الله تعالى. Somebody will tell me, how do you know it has not been changed by somebody? How do you know it's been preserved? How do you know that is mistake? There is no mistake in it? It is makhluk or somebody brought it, not Rabbul Alameen. It's very dangerous. You know, you're going to hit the foundation of the religion if you accept this concept. That's why some people might say, why would they be punished because of this? Just tell them yes and then keep quiet. No, because they know what it means to say that Quran is makhluk. So Quran is not makhluk, is not also sifat for a makhluk. It's kalamullah azza wa jal, word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means it's part of Rabbul Alameen. It will never perish, it will never end, it will never finish. Yeah. That's why he says, wal Quran kalamullah. Man al-qail? Al-Tahawi. Al-Tahawi says, wal Quran kalamullah. Minhu bada. Bila kayfiyatin qawla. Allahu Akbar. Says Quran is kalamullah. It started from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bila kayfiyya. According to our aqidah, we don't go for kayf. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it, how. This is the mubtadi'ah. But we, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we don't go for this. Because Allah did not tell us how. So we just keep quiet. Because we are going to talk on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having knowledge and mess up things. It started from Rabbul Alameen. And it says His word. And it says qawlan. Qawlan hi ja'a bil masdar li ta'kid. Do you أكد أنه لف من الله عز وجل سمعه جبريل عليه السلام. You know, is a لف ما يتلفظ به, something that Jibreel heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying it to him. He took it from رب العالمين to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave it to us. You get it? So that's Quran. Quran is كلام الله عز وجل, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. He talks. خلافة للمبتدعة. There are some people who, wallahi, sometimes you find these issues, you know, why would somebody agree with these type of things, you know? رب لا يتكلم. A creator but doesn't talk. SubhanAllah, a creator doesn't talk. And how did they manage to agree with this? They said it's wrong for us to agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, because it is deficiency. And know what exactly are they talking about. Yeah. So that's why they try to introduce many, many things. I remember Abu Amr al-Dani, somebody told him, if you can fix this ayah for us, to say, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. The ayah is, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Who is the fa'il? رَبُّ الْعَلَمِينَ. Who is the maf'ul? Musa alayhi salam. They want it to be twisted. in a way, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى. Who is the maf'ul? Allah. Who is the fa'il? Musa alayhi salam. So that means Allah, according to this, Allah did not talk. Musa was the one who talked. And subhanAllah, they were dealing with our scholars. He told them, no problem. No problem. Don't worry. But I have one condition. You want me to change this one? Because they want him to do. Because if he does, everyone is going to accept. Because he's one of the qurra, big qurra that everyone recognizes in this dunya of ours. So if he says this is Quran, everyone is going to accept. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put our leadership in terms of narrating the qira'at on people who are 100% trustworthy. You cannot cooperate with them to manipulate things. So he told him, no problem. And many of them also, they are scholars of the Arabic language. They're very good in Arabic. So he said, no problem. If you want me to change this, but I have a condition. If you fulfill this condition, I will change that law. There is another place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the same thing, but in different way. I will help you to fix this one in the way you want, but you have to help me to fix that one. That one says, وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. He said, please, help me. How to twist it? وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. There's no way for you to modify this. وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبَّهُ. Even the kids who are very beginners in Arabic language, they might be, what is he talking about? You know? Yani, subhanAllah. فَبُهِتَ الرَّجُلُ. He was so embarrassed and he left. So they come up also with another explanation. Yeah. They said, actually, Musa did not talk to, Allah did not talk to Musa alayhi salam. You remember when Musa went, he saw the tree, right? There is a light in that place. And in the Anastunar, and I saw the fire. So they said, actually, the fire is coming from the tree, and Musa was the one who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what Allah did, according to this aqidah, batila, they said Allah created a word and put it on the tree, in the tree. So the tree is the one who speaks, not Rabbul Alameen. So the scholar said, fine. You know, when you go away from the truth, like what Allah says, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ وَاللَّهِ. Rabbul Alameen says there is nothing after going away from the truth except falsehood and batil. And a person who wants to twist the truth, I'm telling you, in other way, he is acting a very dummy way, you know, very dumb, you know. That's the best description, because sometimes he will come and say things, the scholars are just looking at him, what is he? Is he okay or not? You know? Because these guys, when they come and talk like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the word and put it in the tree, the scholar said, oh, are you sure about that? He said, yeah. He said, okay, then in the story of the tree itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam in that event, he says, Ana Rabbuka fa'abudni. Is it the tree that says Ana Rabbuka fa'abudni? Because the statement is not Huwa Rabbuka fa'abudhu. The statement says Ana Rabbuka. Ana means mutakallim, the one who is speaking. So they said, oh, the tree is the one who was saying to Musa, أَنَا رَبُّكَ قَالَ الْعُلَمَا فَوَقَعُوا فِي شَرِّ مَا هَارَبُوا مِنْهُ. They fell into a ditch which is worse than what they are running away from. Because they said, if we say Allah speaks, it is deficiency. But now they are actually attributing divinity to somebody, lordship to somebody else other than Rabbul Alameen. That's why nothing left except the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Wallahi, very beautiful, simple, no headache, no penin kapala, no anything. It's very simple. How is it simple? Allah says, he speaks. What is my job? Ya Allah, you speak. I believe in that. Is it difficult? No, just accept, because this is the Quran that I believe in to be the 100% correct book. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he speaks. He says, he sees. I say, ya Allah, you see. You have eyes, you have a hand. Finish. My job is done. What else? Nothing. The Salaf al-Saleh, you know, they don't have these battles that we're having nowadays. Because when the sifat comes, they just say, let them pass in the way they reach us. Case closed. They try to see from these names and the attribute how to benefit from them in my life. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is Ar-Ra'uf Ar-Rahim. What should I do? Also show mercy to others. Understand that he's always Ar-Ra'uf Ar-Rahim. Whenever I need something, I just go back to him straightforward, without starting with anybody else. I start with him first. Because I know he is the most merciful. No matter how much I committed of crime, I cannot lose hope in the mercy of Rabbul Alameen as a Muslim. And I always have the hope that he will forgive me. I use another name, At-Tawwab, Al-Ghafoor. I always come back to him in repentance. I don't care. Whenever I go away, I go back to him, I cry. I regret sincerely from the heart. He will accept. SubhanAllah, I try to avoid doing things which are wrong. I try to avoid saying things that are wrong. I try to avoid oppressing others. That's how we are supposed to utilize these names. Other than that, whatever manhaj you take, trust me, it's going to put you into trouble and enlarge and increase the tension amongst the Muslims. In Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, we have no issues, right? Almost nobody is fighting and arguing concerning this matter. In Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, this is where the battle between Kufr and Islam lies. From day one, from the time of Nuh alayhi salam up to date. All the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their struggles was based on this. In Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, this is when you have Muslims that are fighting each other. Why? Because we refuse to take what was taken by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We refuse to take what was taken by the companions. We want to introduce our own version of understanding based on the falsafa which is taken from the Greek and Romans. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So it's very simple knowledge and discipline which we needed, you know, for us to be able to do things in the right way. قَالَ يُسْرَ عَلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فِي لَيْلَةِ فَلَا يَبْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. So everything will be gone. وَتَبْقَى طَوَائِفُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And group of people will remain on earth. الشيخ الكبير والعجوز, you know, all people. So it's the tawa'if min al-nas, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to. He explained, who are they? An old man, an old woman. They will remain. Why the old man and the old woman? Because they managed to see the past. Yeah? They were there in the four parents, you know, before they died. يقولون أدركنا أبعنا على هذه الكلمة. These old people, they will be saying, oh, we met our four parents, you know, the grandparents, we met them ala hadhihi al-kalima, believing in this word, la ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. No salah, no zakah, as Hudhayfa said, la ya'rifuna ma salatun, ma zakat, ma sadaqatun, wa ma siyamun, wa la nusuk. No salah, no hajj, no sawm, no zakah. They don't know anything about the pillars of Islam, except this la ilaha illallah. The old people among them will be saying, we heard that our previous parent, they used to say this word. يَقُولُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. They used to say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There is none to be worshipped except Allah. فَنَحْنُ نَقُولُهَا. So we also say like that, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. SubhanAllah, they just say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, but they don't know the real meaning of لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, except the fact that since it is said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, also they don't worship idols. They don't commit kufr. But what are the fara'id and the sunan and the wajibat of la ilaha illallah, they don't know. فَقَالَ لَهُ صِلَةٌ. Sila said, a student of Hudhayfa, and his name is Sila ibn Zafir al-Absi al-Kufi, tabi'in kabir. So he said to Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he said, فَمَا تُبْنِي عَنْهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. What are they going to benefit from لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ? وَهُمْ لَا يُدْرِكُونَ مَا صَلَأْتُمْ. At the same time, they don't know what is salah. وَلَا صِيَامٌ, they don't know what is siyam. وَلَا نُسُكٌ, they don't know what is hajj. وَلَا صَدَقَةٌ, they don't know what is sadaqah. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ Hudhayfa. So Hudhayfa turn away from him, meaning ignore him. Sila asked again. He said, what are they going to benefit from la ilaha illallah if they don't know how to pray, how to fast, how to do this and that? Hudhayfa ignored him. He asked for the third time. Hudhayfa also ignored him. كل ذلك يعرض عنه Hudhayfa. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الثَّالِثَةِ When he asks for the third time, so he comes, he faces him, he turns to him. فَقَالَ يَا صِلَى He said, صِلَى كُلُّ ذَلِكَ قَالَ يَا صِلَى تُنْجِيهِمْ مِنَ النَّارِ It is going to save them from hell. So Sila was surprised. What is the benefit of La ilaha illallah at that time if these guys don't pray, don't fast, don't give zakah, don't go for hajj? So after asking for the third time, Hudhayfa said, Tunjihim minan nar. It is going to save them from hell. This is one of the opinion, one of the evidences of the majority of the scholars when they said, Tariku salah, takasulan la yakfur. The person who stayed away from praying out of negligence, laziness, is not a kafir, but almost. Yeah. Like what they said, a person, one of his leg is inside the grave and the other one is outside is not strong enough. One is in the grave and the other one is on the skin of a banana. The outside one is on the skin of a banana. That means that any time you can just sleep and get inside. So that's how I see Tariq al-Salah. But who is Tariq al-Salah here? Is it the one who prays sometimes or sometimes doesn't pray? Or the one who does not pray completely? The one who doesn't pray completely. We're not talking about the one who prays sometimes. This is not in the discussion. Yeah, that one is a big criminal. No doubt about this. Yeah, because Tariq al-Salah aswa'u min al-zina wa shurb al-khamr wal-qatl. Staying away from the prayer is worse than any other sin that a person is committing. You get it? You know, staying away from the salah is worse than any sin. You know, because it's number two righteous deed that comes after the tawheed. You get it? Number two is the salah. That's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah." فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ The barrier, the difference between us and the mushrikeen is as-salah. Whoever stays away from the salah is kafir. So فَقَدْ كَفَرْ You know, one of the tabi'een says, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that there is nothing which they used to see as kufr, تَرْكُهُ kufr, إِلَّا salah, except prayer. And in one hadith, although this hadith is rejected by some of the muhaddithin, some of them authenticated the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, this person, on the day of judgment, يُحْشَرُ مَا فِرْعَوْنَ أَوْ يُحْشَرُ مَا هَامَانَ وَقَارُونَ وَأُبَيُّ بِنْ خَلَفْ And you know, on the day of judgment, a person will be with the people who are from his group going to hell with them. Allah bring him with Fir'aun, or Haman, or Qarun, and Ubay bin Khalaf. These are the big criminals, you know. So all of these nusus are showing that the person who stays away from praying is a kafir. But majority of the scholars don't say this. They said because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, apart from this hadith of Hudhayfa, he also said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, he will take out of hell, in the hadith of Shafa'a, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the prophets interceded. Angels, righteous people, everyone did his intercession. وَلَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا شَفَاعَةُ أَرْحَمِ الرَّحِيمِ No Shafa'a left except the Shafa'a of Rabbul Alameen. And this Shafa'a of Rabbul Alameen from him to himself. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do shafa'a to anyone. Who does shafa'a? Somebody who's in the same level with you. That's why you go for shafa'a. If you're on top of him, you command him to do. If you're in the same level, then you do the shafa'a. Meaning you beg, you request it from a minister like you. If you are also a minister, you ask that minister to help somebody that you sent to him. That's shafa'a. You're a president of another country, you want somebody to get something in another country, so you're a friend of that president, you talk to him. You're in the same capacity. You know. Rabbul Alameen is the creator of everyone. So, what is his shafa'ah? He's doing shafa'ah, intercession from himself to himself. And subhanAllah, very unique one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Sahih Muslim, he will put his hand inside hell. Whosoever the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them out of hell. So he's going to bring out of hell, unasun, لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطُّ. He's going to bring out a people that never did any righteous deed in their life. قَالْ لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطُّ. They never did any righteous deed. Allah will take them out of hell. The righteous deed here should be restricted to other than aqidah. Yeah, because they have that minute percent of tawheed. Otherwise, they cannot go out of hell. Because the Rabbul Alameen promised that if a person died in shirk or kufr, will never go out of hell. Forever and ever. So we learned that these people referred to by Rabbul Alameen, you know, or by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the people that have tawheed, but that's the only thing they have. And the tawheed is very little, very minimum. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't see them. Because, you know, after that is after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to hell several times to pick up people from the hell and go and take them to paradise. And how does he recognize them? With the iman. Because anyone who has iman, even if it is mithqalu dharra, like an atom, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be able to trace him. So after he picked up everyone, the balance will be the people that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot recognize him anymore. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do his. Will bring out of hell those people who did not do anything. So, as-salah min afdal al-a'mal. If he says, lam ya'malu khayran qattu, that means even salah is included. And also don't forget the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever stays away from praying does not have any promise between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show mercy or to take him to paradise. قَالَ إِن شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ وَإِن شَاءَ عَفَعَنِ. If Allah wants, He will punish him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to punish him, He will take him to paradise. And a kafir is not tahta al-mashiyah. Kafir is not under the mashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he dies in kufr. Anyone who dies in kufr is not under this mashiyah that we're talking about. Then I say they're not under the mashiyah. They're under the general mashiyah. But this mashiyah that we're referring to in this hadith, these kufr, they're not under this Mashiach. To say that there is a possibility for them to receive mercy from Rabbul Alameen, no. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this person, there is a possibility for him to go to paradise, we learn that he is not a kafir, because if he is a kafir, there will be no possibility or chance for him to get out of hell. Clear, inshallah. Allahu alam. So, the best opinion is the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars, inshallah ta'ala. But as I said, the person who is not praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at the edge. You know, there is no good in this person at all. There is no good in this person at all. If he is married, the wife has to remind him to repent. Otherwise, this is one of the best grounds for her to look for a separation. How can she stay with somebody who is the father of her kids and he doesn't pray to Rabbul Alameen? This would be the best grounds for separation. If he doesn't want to listen, after a series of nasa'ih and nasiha, and he doesn't want to listen, then she should seek for separation. That's better for her. You know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Hanabila, actually the proponent of this opinion, actually they believe if he doesn't pray and the reminder was given to him, he's a kafir, it's haram actually for her to be with him. She has to go, because the marriage is gone. But at least according to the majority of the scholars, the marriage is still there, but she shouldn't stay with a person. She should look for a separation, even if that will take them to the court. وقال عبد الله بن مسعود لينزعن القرآن من بين أظهركم يسرى عليه ليلة فيذهب من أجواف الرجال فلا يبقى في الأرض منه شيء. The same thing Hudhayfa mentioned in the hadith we just finished discussing. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud also said, Quran will be removed from us, will be taken away from us. And that will happen in one night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove it. فَيَذْهَبُ مِنْ أَجْوَافِ الرِّجَالِ. That which you have in your chest will be taken erased completely. فَلَا يَبْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. Nothing will left of the Quran on earth. Allah will take it completely. قال ابن تيمية يسرى به في آخر الزمان من المصاحف والصدور فلا يبقى في الصدور منه كلمة. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, Quran will be taken in the last part of this dunya. في المصاحف والصدور. From the mushaf, Allah will remove it. From the sudur, also the chest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove it. فلا يبقى في الصدور منه كلمة. Not a single word will be remembered by the Huffaz. ولا في المصاحف منه حرف. And you don't go to the Quran and find a single harf of the Quran remaining in that mushaf. وأعظم من هذا سبحان الله. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us not to see this moment. The Mu'allif says, وأعظم من هذا. And what is worse than this? وأعظم من هذا ألا يذكر الله في الأرض تعالى في الأرض. To reach a time when there is nobody who is saying Allah. Nobody who is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كما في الحديث عن أنس أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله. Anas ibn Malik said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qiyamah will not happen until we see the time when there is nobody who is saying Allah, Allah. You get it? So most likely this is also going to coincide with the Quran being removed. You know? You get it? Because this is the time when things are really bad. People don't deserve to have the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. Allah just take it away from them. So when the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gone, you know, you can imagine what will happen in that place. قال ابن كثير في معنى هذا الحديث قولان. Ibn Kathir said, there are two opinions concerning the meaning of this hadith. لا تقوم الساعة حديث أنس لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله. قيامه will not happen until you find nobody on the earth who is saying Allah Allah. So Ibn Kathir said there are two meanings for this hadith. Number one, أن معناه أن أحدا لا ينكر منكرا ولا يزجر أحدا إذا رأه قد تعاطى منكرا. It says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not referring to dhikr, that people are not saying Allah, people are not saying La ilaha illallah, people are not saying Subhanallah. He is not referring to this. This opinion says he is referring to Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf wa-Nahy an al-Munkar. Nobody is doing Amr bil-Ma'ruf. Nobody is doing Nahy al-Munkar. You get it? So he said this is the reference, this opinion. Yeah? وعبر عن ذلك بقوله حتى لا يقال الله الله كما تقدم في حديث عبد الله ابن عمر. He says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you know, put it in his statement حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله. Until the time you find no one who is saying Allah Allah. Just like what you see in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar المتقدم. قال فيبقى فيها عجاجة لا يعرفون معروفا ولا ينكرون منكرا. Because in some of these narrations, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, يبقى في الأرض عجاجة. Useless type of people will remain. Useless, idiots, people, سفهاء, غوغاء الناس. They will be the one who remain on earth. لا يعرفون معروفا. They don't know what is معروف. They don't also remind people to do معروف. ولا ينكرون منكرا. And they don't remind people to stay away from munkar. So that's the reason why this opinion says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not referring to people not saying Allah Allah, but he is talking about a time when nobody is reminding people to do righteous deed. والقول الثاني حتى لا يذكر الله في الأرض. The second opinion said, no, he meant the word. It is a time that will come where nobody who is doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. وَلَا يُعْرَفُ إِسْمُهُ فِيهَا. And nobody is remembering the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya of ours. وَذَلِكَ عِنْدَ فَسَادِ الزَّمَانِ. And this will happen when the corruption is everywhere. The time is really, really corrupt. وَدَمَارُ نَوِ الْإِنسَانِ. And people are really gone. وَكَثْرَةُ الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. And kufr is everywhere. And fisq is everywhere. And isyan and ma'asi are everywhere. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why it's not good for a person to reach this time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yahfaz imanana wa aqidatana. Qala kathratu ash-shurati wa a'wan adh-dhalama. The next, which is a sign number 14, we talk about kathratu ash-shurat wa a'wan adh-dhalama. Having a lot of shurat, these are the supporters of the corrupt leaders. Not necessarily that the leader is corrupt, but those security that are put by a leader in front, like bodyguard, the special security of the leader. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are under their control. There will be a lot. وَأَوَانُ الظَّلَمَةِ. And the supporters of the oppressors. So this shurat, not just shurti, shurti is a policeman. We're not talking about police here. We're talking about those special forces who are in charge in protecting the leaders and the authority, and they have authority to do whatever they want in the city. So they use their force, their authority, in the wrong way. They misuse it in the wrong way to punish people. Exactly. I'm just trying to bring the shurat mentioned here. Yeah. They call this because they have some sign that recognize them from the rest of the people. That's why they call them shurat. Rawal Imam Ahmad. عن أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يكون في آخر هذه الأمة في آخر الزمان رجال أو قال يخرج رجال من هذه الأمة في آخر الزمان معهم سياط كأنها أذناب البقر يغدون في سخط الله ويروحون في غضبه والعياذ بالله. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith of Abu Umama, he says before the end of time, before the last day, a group of people emerge. يَخْرُجُ رِجَالُ فِي هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ. In this ummah. فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ مَعْهُمْ سِيَاطٍ. They'll be holding whips that they will hit people with. كَأَنَّهَا أَذْنَابُ الْبَقَرِ. That looks like the tails of the cow. يَغْدُونَ فِي سَخَطِ اللَّهِ. These ones, they will wake up in the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَرُوحُونَ فِي غَضَبِهِ. And they reach the evening in the wrath of Rabbul Alameen. Subhanallah. وَرَوَى وَفِي رُوَاتِ لِي الطَّبَرَانِ فِي الْكَبِيرِ سَيْكُونَ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ شُرْطَةٌ يَغْدُونَ فِي غَضَبِ اللَّهِ وَيَرُوحُونَ فِي سَخَطِ اللَّهِ فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْ بِطَانَتِهِ. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, these people will emerge before the day of judgment. There will be in the morning in the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will reach the evening in the sakhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْ بِطَانَتِهِمْ. Said, I want you to be a partner to them, to be part of them. وَقَدْ جَاءَ الْوَعِيدُ بِالنَّارِ لِهَذَا الصِّنْفِ مِنَ النَّاسِ الَّذِينَ يَتَسَلَّطُونَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَيُعَذِّبُونَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threatened this group of people with fire. When they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be going to fire. And what is their problem? What is their issue? Because they use their authority in the wrong way. You get it? They punish people unjustly. Rawal Imam Muslimun and عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صنفان من أهل النار لم أرهما قوم معهم سياط كأذناب البقر يضربون بها الناس. Remember we talk about this hadith, right? He says a group of people who are holding the whips like the tails of the cow. يضربون بها الناس. They will be beating people with them. And you know in the last part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they will never go to paradise. And they will not smell paradise. And the second party to them, because it says Sinfani min ahl nar, two group of people that will be going to hell. He said, I do not see them yet. And the other group, these are the sisters who are not wearing hijab properly. قال النووي رحمه الله وهذا الحديث من معجزات النبي النبوة. Imam al-Nawawi says this is one of the معجزات of the نبوة of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقد وقع ما أخبر به صلى الله عليه وسلم. What exactly the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم talk about happened. فأما أصحاب السياط فهم غلمان وللشرطة. And أصحاب السياط, those people who are holding the whips like the أذناب البقر, these are the غلمان وللشرطة. والشرطة, this is the one who is in charge of the security in the country. You get it? In our time, IG, yeah, that one. So the people who are under him, okay, directly under his department, that goes out and just treat people in the wrong way. Because it's a system that is necessary. You know, you Allah, it's necessary. In our time, necessary to have the security forces. Security forces, they are really necessary in our time. Whether they're corrupt, they're good, but their existence in public is good for the community. We can't live without that. Otherwise, the criminals will be snatching us in the way they want. That's why one of our scholars said, Al-istibdadu khayrun min al-fawda. And people kept on cursing him because of this. Yeah, because people are very emotional. Don't care about the consequences. When he talked to them about the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning the way to deal with the leader, they call you a lot of names. Ulama al-Sultan, Ulama al-Haydu wal-Nifas. You know, so many names, you know, good and bad you hear. And subhanAllah, look at the condition and the situation and what exactly will happen when we don't follow the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as sunnah in our communities. Some of these nations have been taken completely dropped at the hand of the real enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them have been destroyed completely. You don't understand. You don't believe that this is the place that you know yesterday or a few months ago. Gone completely. That's why Rasulullah said, do not. We swept all of these hadiths, we kept them aside. We want to follow our own wishes. And don't be deceived by the prosperity that might come after that, after a long period of subhanAllah. People have been displaced, people have been killed, and all of these things. And then later on we might have, you know, to come back a bit. That one has its own explanation. Al-Hasan al-Basri, when he was asked about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌ مِنْهُ. There will be no time except that the one that will come after it will be worse. But then somebody made an analysis, you know, and said, wait a minute, this hadith is true. No doubt about this, that any time that comes, the one that will come after that will be worse. But then he said, after Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who was the leader? Yazid, one of the worst leaders that ever come to the Ummah. After him also series of bad and corrupt leaders. Up to the time of Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. Things started to change, and alhamdulillah, he fixed the prayers. You know, imagine the corruption reached even in the deen. Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, the first thing he did is to fix the prayer time that was messed by the previous leaders. And the last good deed he did was to appoint Umar bin Abdul Aziz to lead us. You know, subhanAllah, when Raja bin Haywa told him, appoint Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he said, the family would never agree because he's Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. the Khilafah is in the family of Abdul Malik. And now he is bringing somebody, although he is also from the royal family, but not this route. So he said, the family will not agree, and it will be a big issue. SubhanAllah, you see, that's the good thing, wallahi, of having a good partner to be with you. If you are a leader, you really need an honest person to be on your side. It's necessary, because this is the one that is not looking for your money or any position from you. He's just there for the nation to tell you the truth. What he believes will take the nation to the success. And also what he believes will relieve you from responsibility when you meet Rabbul Alameen. That's why this man really benefited the leaders, Raja ibn Haywa. Really benefited them. Very strong person in telling them the truth. So subhanAllah, when Sulaiman told him, no, it's going to be very tough for him, and also the family will be fighting and all of these things, Raja ibn Haywa said, listen, إِنَّكَ قَادِمٌ إِلَيْهِ. You're going back to Rabbul Alameen. Why would you care about what people say about you? Wallah, the best statement to be said to this person was that statement. He said, why would you worry? You're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to die. Why would you worry about what people say about behind you after knowing that you are doing the correct thing? And subhanAllah, he managed to convince him. He said, don't worry about what people will say. We will handle that. And subhanAllah, he planned for him. The man died, and he asked him to write, and also they signed. SubhanAllah, he did not inform anyone. He kept Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, you know, seated in the way people think that he's still alive. So when those people from the family, they came, and he asked them to sign, they signed, not knowing who is exactly in the paper. So just sign. The Khalifa asked you to sign. So they thought he's still alive. That's why they signed. After they signed, he says, I'm sorry to announce that Sulaiman is dead. They got shocked. Immediately, look at Karim. Karim, may Allah forgive them. Immediately they ask him, who is next after him? Not even thinking about him dying, rahimahullah, no. Who is next? He said, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. They don't want to accept. They said, but he said, the one that will come after him is so and so and so from the family. Then they agree. SubhanAllah, not knowing that they are agreeing upon somebody who will take the ummah back to their consciousness. He blocked them. He really disturbed them. That's why they killed him at the end of the day. They poisoned him. He died because of this. And subhanAllah, look at Rijal. He managed to take the ummah back to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with how many people? Three people. Nowadays, in some countries, you have almost 1,000 around the leader, but not doing anything. With three people. Managed to take them back to the consciousness with a very simple system that is based on the principles laid down by the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Iwallah, la qalla wa la akthar. The siyasa of Umar bin Abdul Aziz was 100% dependent on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the Sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. He managed to sweep all of the corruption that was there before him. In how many years? 20 years? 2 years only. So the Ummah tasted what peace is all about and the meaning of justice. Everyone is happy. Kuffar kept on coming to Islam a lot. People accepted Islam in his time. And also tijara, business was everywhere. Everyone went back to business because there is no injustice by the authorities. And nobody is supposed to be deprived when he wants to be productive in benefiting the community. And take the mazalim, the oppression, and take them back to their owners. Whatever is taken by the previous government from people, he took it back. They mentioned that he left people for about 1 week. The time he came out, he and his personal assistant, and he will just take a piece of paper and read it. The land that was taken from Hamad last time, this is injustice and unfair and oppression by the authority. Therefore, that land is back to him. He will give the paper to the personal assistant. He will burn it instantly. no trace for it. If the next government comes also, they have no way to trace those lines to bring them back. He did his analysis for 3 days to study what exactly was happening. He came back. So the first thing he did is to return back the properties of people to the people. SubhanAllah. So people sense justice, they always cooperated with him. A shahid, people experience corruption for ages. And now in 2 years, they experience justice and good life. In 2 years. The world, Alam al-Islami, was cleansed by his leadership, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. Somebody asked Al-Hasan al-Basri. He said, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يأتي زمان إلا والذي بعده شر منه. There will be no time except that the one who will come after it is worse. The time before Umar bin Abdul Aziz is bad. The time of Umar is excellent. Isn't it a contradiction between the hadith and this thing that is a reality, everyone witness it? And SubhanAllah, Al-Hasan al-Basri said, you should know that the system in this life is based on لابد للناس من زمان يتنفسون فيه. There has to be a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given people a break. To come back to their consciousness, to fix themselves, then life will be perfect. You know, we will be in corruption, bad, evil. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a pause. And that evil came because of our attitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us ability to have another version of life, even if it is for a short while, so that we can reflect. If we reflect, Allah will keep it for us. If we don't, what will come will be the worst. So that's what I'm saying. Whatever you see, alhamdulillah, people are enjoying, everyone is happy. Nobody will be sad to see people going back to their families, life is coming back, but at the same time, it doesn't cancel the first mistake that some people did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive and guide all of us to the truth and give us ability to stick to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to see peace taking place in the Muslim territories. Muslims are living in a state of peace wherever they are. So inshallah, I will emphasize on this in the next dars. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Adam, do I have any gift?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. The first question from Sister Huma.
No, Wada.
Allahu Akbar. From Sister Homa, Assalamu Alaikum, Sheikh. Could you please tell us the complete process for Umrah and could you say what are the specific du'as for Umrah, if any? It is on. They're all on.
How many questions do we have?
Outside of that, we have seven.
Seven questions. Okay. I don't want to disappoint her, because I want her also to include us in her dua when she goes there. So, let's see. Adam, give me 10 minutes to talk about this. If I go beyond 10 minutes, tell me, time's up.
All right.
Inshallah. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Okay, so it depends on where a person is going. Yeah, if you are moving from your place, let's say you're living in Malaysia and you're going to Umrah, and you will be going to Jeddah and then Makkah, yeah, and then Medina. So in this case, the best is to do all the preparation and to make sure that you make intention upon the announcement in the aeroplane, the intention of making the Umrah. For a sister, she doesn't need to do anything except that the person who is making Umrah cannot wear the niqab and cannot wear the hand gloves. The Prophet said, لَا تَنْتَقِبِ الْمَرْأَةُ وَلَا تَلْبَسِ الْقُفَّازَيْنِ. The one who is wearing the niqab when she comes to do the umrah, she shouldn't wear the niqab and she shouldn't put the qufazain. So the niqab is the one that is not supposed to be worn, not the scarf. What she does, she put the scarf on her head so it comes and cover the head. That one is has no issue with it. This is what was done by the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, you know the niqab, right? It's designed to fit the face, right? So she shouldn't do that one. Just take a plain scarf. It's like the scarf they put sometimes. Take the plain one, put on the head. Part of it will come and cover the face. That was done by the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also the wives of the companions when they are making the umrah. So when she goes to the aeroplane, if the aeroplane is going to announce the time when they reach the miqat, alhamdulillah, then she can wait until the time when they announce, and then she quickly makes the intention. Yeah, she quickly makes the intention of umrah, and then take off the niqab first and put the scarf, you get it? And then make the intention of umrah. What is the intention of the umrah? لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَةً لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَةً. That's it. Actually, this is not the intention. The intention is the one that is in the heart. So she should intend in the heart that she's going to begin the umrah, and then she set this intention by the tongue. So it's announcing the manwi, you know, telling yourself about what you had intended in the heart. So that's the real intention. So if she's going to go to Jeddah and then Makkah, she must make sure that she makes the intention to perform umrah in the aeroplane. If she did not do that until she reached Jeddah, according to the majority of the scholars, she has to pay the fidya, buying a sheep and giving it to the people. Keep some for us, inshallah. So I think this is not necessary. Just make the intention on the aeroplane. If you are afraid of sleeping in the aeroplane, because if you're going to from Malaysia, it's about 8 hours or more than that. So if you are afraid of sleeping, when it is about, let's say, 1 hour, 2 hours, just make the intention to be on the safe side. Then when you are awake, when they announce, then redo the intention. It doesn't change the reality. So this is when you are going to Makkah, from Jeddah to Makkah, right, to perform the umrah. As for the person who is going to Medina first, you don't need to do this. Don't intend umrah for now. Just go to Jeddah or go to Medina, finish all of the things you want to do in Medina. When you are going out of Medina, then you do the intention of umrah at the miqat of the people of Medina, which is Dhul-Hulayfa. Yeah, Dhul-Hulayfa. You go to that place. If it is a time for a prayer, you pray first. If it is not time for a prayer, just go to the place. In that place, you shouldn't cross that place. There is masjid there. Just make the intention. And the intention, the best way to make the intention is to do it when you are in the place, before you come back to the car. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ahalla bit-tawheed. He started saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik when the animals move. So in this time of ours, we don't have animals, right? We have, but we don't use them to go for Hajj Umrah. So when you are in the car, after making the intention in the masjid, for instance, right after the prayer, you make the intention in the heart, right? And you say labbaik Allahumma umratan, and then you move to the car. When the car starts moving, then you say labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak, labbaik innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. That's if you're using the land, right? The best is to use the land. However, some people prefer to use the train. Nowadays, there is a train, alhamdulillah. But the problem, the train is also like the aeroplane. They don't stop in the miqat. Inshallah, we hope a time will come, they will make a transit station from the miqat place. Inshallah, soon it will happen. So the train is before the miqat. So what I will advise is to go to the miqat, take a taxi, go to the miqat, make the rituals there in the miqat, and then use a taxi or the car, whatever car you have, to go to the train station and then move to take the train and move to Makkah. You get it? So all the way you should be saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak, labbaik. For the brothers, you know, the sisters, we mentioned what to be removed, right? They don't need to wear clothes. They can go in any clothes they're wearing, as long as it is decent and covering their aura properly. For the brothers, they have to take off everything. They become like the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, except those two plain garments, one on top and one underneath, right? The one that you see the hujjaj wearing, you know, you wear that one, the izar and the rida. You get it? And you cover your body completely, including your right arm. You get it? And then he keeps saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik in the car, in the train, in the aeroplane, after the intention of the umrah. As much as you can. Because if you say it a lot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you sins according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you move to Makkah. When you reach Makkah, the first thing you do is to get inside that, and of course you go to the hotel and keep your things, and then go to the haram. When you reach the haram, you say the same thing you are saying when you go to any masjid in your country. You remember the dua, right? You mentioned the same dua. And then you go you enter the haram. When you enter the haram, you go straight forward to the Kaaba. I'm going to talk about this. I will force revivers, which I know they will never do, to bring some projector to have the Kaaba so that I can tell how it is. But anyway, should I give you a job? Yes. Okay, hold this and put it here. Anyway, let's say this is the Kaaba, right? Watch one. Let's say this is the Kaaba, and you see four angles, right? This is the place where the black stone is located. This one they call it Rukun al-Yamani. Rukun al-Yamani and the Rukun. The place where the black stone is located. And this is Shamiyyah, this Rukun and this Rukun, where the Hijr Ismail is anyway. So you go straight forward from the door, from whatever door you are coming inside, you go straight forward to the black stone. Yeah? The black stone is there, it's a very known place. If it is possible, which I know most likely will never be possible, because now the visa is very easy to many people go to Umrah, so you might not find time to do this. My advice is not to go and harm others. But if you can have opportunity to go to the black stone, go to the black stone, hold it like this. Put your hand and hold it. And then put your mouth and kiss it. Right? Bismillah. And then you kiss. So you do the istilam first and then you kiss. Right? That's what you should be doing. If that is possible. If it is not possible, you take your hand and touch it with the hand. And then kiss your hand, the place where you touch the black stone. If that is not possible and you have a stick, or umbrella or whatever, if they let you go inside with it, use that one and you touch the place and then you kiss the place where you touch. If that is not possible, from wherever you are, when you resemble the place, you know, so you are going, you come, so this is the black stone here and you are here. So you're at the center of the black stone. You just raise up your hand and say, Allahu Akbar. You get it? Allahu Akbar. And then you move. Do you get the idea? Very simple method given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No need to fight, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not want you to harm anyone in your activities. So and then you move. Before you start the black stone, you bring out your right arm. This is for the brothers only. Get it? You bring out your right arm. You see the way you see the Hujjaj doing, right? And you just put the garment under your armpit, and then you bring out the right arm. So and then you go. For the first three rounds, you are supposed to jog. Jogging, yeah, as much as you can. That's why, since the place is too much crowded, sometimes you find if you go a bit far from it, it's not crowded. So it's better to go far from it than coming closer to the Kaaba, because we are not told by the Prophet ﷺ that coming closer to the Kaaba has some virtues additional, you know, better than the one who is a bit far from it. We're not told about this. So to go a bit far to practice the Sunnah correctly is better than coming closer to it and not being able to practice the Sunnah. So it's better to go far from it and jog for the first three rounds, right? So when you go, you pass this one. This is the black stone, right? You pass this corner and you pass the second one, and the third one. This is the first one, second one, and the third one. So you come into the one which is next to the black stone, right? When you reach this one, this is Rukun al-Yamani. You're supposed to touch it with your hand only. No kissing hand, no kissing the place. Just touch with your hand. You're going to see people hugging it and doing everything. Just leave them with their hugging. You just touch it if it is possible. There is no hugging, no anything. You get it? You just touch and no kissing also. And only touching if it is possible. If it is not possible, you just leave it. No pointing. You remember in the black stone, if you couldn't touch it, you do what? 10 minutes finish? And you think I will stop? Sorry, I don't. So in the black stone, you remember if you cannot do anything, you point at it, right? And then you move forward. But this one, no. Either touching or nothing. Yeah. And then you move. So you see here you, right? Jogging, right? Going to the black stone, right? In this place, you know, between this place, between the Rukun al-Yamani and the black stone, whatever you are doing, you're supposed to stop it and say, La ilaha Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Any dua you are making, the best is to stop that one and start saying ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. والله if Allah accept this dua for you, and subhanAllah, you succeed in this dunya and the akhirah, because it contained every good in this dunya and the akhirah, and also protection from every evil in this dunya and also the akhirah. Is that clear, inshallah? So this is me finishing one round. This guy is going to die. Cancel. Okay, so you have completed the first round, right? And now we're in the black stone. Whenever you come to the black stone, you do the same thing you did in the first, when you first come to it. The same thing. If you have chance, you kiss it, if you have this and that, until then. And then you move, right? Jogging, number two, right? When you come here, you stop everything and say, رَبَّنَا أَتْنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. So the first three rounds, you do them like this. And then the last four rounds, you walk normally. After you finish the three, then you stop jogging. Then you walk normally until the end of the seven rounds. Whenever you come here, you touch it if possible. And here also you do whatever I had mentioned earlier. After you finish the whole thing, number seven, when you come to the black stone, you kiss it once again. Yeah, and then you move to Maqam Ibrahim. Maqam Ibrahim, you know that thing, right? That glass right. Thing which it is said that there is the foot of Ibrahim in that place. Wallahu alam. So you go to that place. What are you going to do? You pray, okay? So this is the Kaaba, right? This is Maqam Ibrahim, right? So what it should do? You bring your hand back inside. You have to cover your shoulder. You remember you're not covering your shoulder, right? You bring out the right hand. So now you have to put it inside. So you come behind the Maqam Ibrahim and you pray. So you put Maqam Ibrahim in front of you, but you're facing the Kaaba, actually. So this Maqam Ibrahim has to be between you and the Kaaba. Right? You pray two rakat here. If it is possible. If it is not possible, you move far from it. Right? Because you're going to have a lot of things. You know, recently when I went, I found somebody. I was begging him, please, Rajid, move so that we can find space to pray. He said he's also praying. And he's taking a video of Kaaba of himself making dua. And he told me, I'm also praying. Anyway, so if it is not possible for you to pray here, you move behind. Not possible, move behind. Not possible. I mean, when I say behind, still you put Maqam Ibrahim in front of you, but a bit far from it, right between you and the Kaaba. If it is not possible for you to find a space, because nowadays with the construction and all of these things, you might not find space to stand, then you pray in any place in the masjid. The point is to face the Kaaba. In the first rakah, you read, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. In the second rakah, you read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want in the sujood, you know, in the tashahud. After you finish, you go and look for zamzam and drink from zamzam. And don't forget, when you're drinking from zamzam, whatever need you have, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you need when you're drinking from zamzam. I think your time is up. Yeah. When you're drinking from zamzam, whatever need you have, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma'u zamzama lima shuriba lahu. Zamzam is for whatever you drank it for. The Prophet ﷺ says, Shifa'u, suqmin wa ta'amu du'min. Is a food sent by itself and also is a medicine. Alhamdulillah. So you go and drink as much as you want without harming yourself, of course. Because sometimes some people, when they drink a lot, they cannot finish the sa'i easily. They will need to go and use the bathroom. So you know yourself, be moderate so that you can finish the balance of your umrah peacefully. So we are done with the tawaf. So now you move straight forward to Safa and Marwa. You go to the place of the Safa. Try your best to make the sa'i on the ground. Then go up. Especially for the first umrah that you are having. Yeah. If you are going back again and next time you manage to get opportunity to go, you want to do it up. But the first one, try to experience, you know, the sa'i of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sa'i of Hajar, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because that was the place where they're doing the sa'i. She's doing the sa'i. You get it? So what you should do, you go to the the Safa. You start with Safa. You get it? When you approach the Safa, you say what? Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'a'irillah. فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوْ اعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. And then you say أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ or بَدَأْتُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. You say this one. Get it? And then you climb the Safa. When you go on top, you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. And then you face the Kaaba. You know, this is the Kaaba. So you face the Kaaba. You raise up your hand and make dua. Don't be lazy. Wallahi, this is my advice to you. When you go to Umrah, don't forget. You're spending time. You're spending effort. You're spending money. This is one of the biggest act of worship that Allah SWT really loves. Don't be lazy. Unfortunately, when we go, we are rushing. I don't know what brought you to Mecca if you're just rushing like that. Be like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah SAW told them, be calm, slowly, 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 slowly. And they said when he was on the Safa, you know, he was, subhanAllah, making dua, waqafa sa'atan, long period of time asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his need. And this is Rasulullah, you know. What do you think about our need, you know? And by the way, I forgot, in the tawaf, I prefer for you not to use any book. I prefer for you to go just memorize that dua which you already memorized. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban. That's the only dua you should be saying between the Rukun al-Yamani and Hajar al-Aswad. The rest is all for you to express yourself, to enjoy asking Rabbul Alameen in your language. No need to mention it in Arabic. If you take my book, you're going to be asking Allah my wishes. My wants, not your wants. I'm pretty sure you go to that place with so many things in your brain, right? You want to ask Allah SWT this and that, but the book doesn't mention those things. And also, using the book take your focus. That's why I prefer just go. Everything the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, just do those ones. The rest is for you. Going around the tawaf, the first one, the second one, third one, until seven is up to you. To read Quran, make dua, make dhikr, do istighfar, is up to you. To do whatever you want to do. The same goes to the sa'i. So on the Safa, you face the Kaaba, you make this long dua. After you finish, you just come. Try to go on top, because when you stand at the edge, people will come and push you, and the police also might kick you to go down. Try to go on top of it. You find some space, nobody's there, then stop in that place before the police sees you, make some dua, and then run away, inshallah. So after that, you come down to the Marwa. On the way to Marwa, you will see the green fluorescent, the light. It used to be just two of them here, and the last part you're supposed to stop running, that is another one. But alhamdulillah, nowadays the government put continuous. Yeah, even if you forgot, in the middle, you still see that the place is green. Yeah, so that from the place you see the green light, you're supposed to run. Not jogging, running. Yeah, the last one, I have kids with me, so we race, they want there whenever. Anyway, so you run from this one until the other one. And this is only for the brothers, according to the vast majority of the scholars. Yeah, it's for the brothers, according to the vast majority of the scholars, to run from this one until then. Is that clear? So from the beginning of the green light until the end of the green light, you run. Okay? And then after you reach the last part of the green light, you walk normally until the Marwa. When you reach Marwa, you say the same thing you said on the Safa, when you go into Inna Safa wal Marwata, except Abda'u bima bada Allahu bihi, because this one, you're not starting from Marwa, right? So you don't say this, and you go on Marwa, and you do the same thing you did on the Safa. And then you come down to Safa again, right? So that's number one. When you're coming back, you will meet the green light also, you run until the end of it, and then you go to the Safa, you do the same thing, except you will not repeat that, Abda'u bima bada Allahu bihi. So you will do how many rounds? Seven rounds, right? You're going to go for seven rounds. Between the two mountains is up to you, just like the tawaf, to ask Allah whatever you want. Wallahi, I really advise you not to be deceived by whatever you see people doing. Allahumma, you finish your umrah, you don't have time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you need. This is wrong, wrong, wrong. Say it in your own language. Don't worry about anything. You will see a lot of type of people. Everyone will come in with his own version. You know, some people will come with subhanAllah. I don't know how to understand. You know, you hear a lot of cartoon show in that place. Trust me. That's why going with the kids is good. They will be your journalists. When they come back home, they will narrate what they see in the book. Is it, they mentioned that somebody was reading, you know, a group of people are reading the dua and the people are saying behind. So he was using a book, Allahu Alam, somebody heard one of them was reading. He finished the book, he went to the last part of the book, and then he kept on reading whatever he sees in that place. You know, publish, tobia. But it was in Arabic, since he doesn't know the Arabic language. He kept on saying, tobia, fi. So people who know Arabic language, they laugh. Ewallah. Even this Umrah that we went to recently, the kids really, they couldn't forget this moment when they hear some people making some weird things in Arabic language. But unfortunately, they don't know. And if you were to tell them, Ya Rajul, say it in your own language, he might not agree with what you are saying. So my advice to Huma and whoever is going to Umrah, just understand that this is for you. This is for you. So I begin my sa'i from Safa and I end with Marwa, right? Number one, I go to Safa, that's one. When I come to, I go to Marwa, that's one. I come back to Safa, that's two. So you will see yourself beginning from Safa and ending with Marwa, right? If you end with Safa, that means either you have deficiency or you added one. What do you do now? You add one more. You add one more to complete the deficiency, like sujood, as-sahw. You know. So after this, then you go and shave your hair. The best is to shave the hair for the brothers. Don't worry about your hair. Just take it out. You know. Allah will show mercy upon you. I mean, what is the hair compared to the mercy of Rabbul Alameen? And the hair will come back. Yeah. Just let people see you in a funny way and hit you a bit, but who cares? Anyway, for the brothers, this is the best. For those who don't agree, don't want to shave completely, make it bold, they can trim, but they have to trim every part of the hair. So when you go to the barber, tell him to put a number and cut every part of the hair. Don't go to those guys on the marwa, just cut here. That's wrong. Yeah, for the sisters, they have to wait until they go back to the hotel, and then they do it for themselves, or the husband or brothers or anyone in the family should do it for themselves. They are not allowed to open their hair in that place. SubhanAllah, she will be committing sin while trying to get reward from Rabbul Alameen. So she just waits until she goes back to the hotel and somebody should do it for her. How is she going to do? Make it bold? So they put the hair all together, and they cut just this a bit. They put it all together. The one that comes out, they cut it. Not necessarily that they have to pull it every single tiny one that is connected to the skin. No, just put the hair together. The one that comes out, they just cut a bit of it. That's it. They don't need to go to every single hair they have to make sure that every one they cut. No, that's exaggeration and guru. They just put it together and cut this amount. For sure, they're not going to be in the same level in terms of size, right? You know, they don't need to cut every single one of it. So I guess I did an excellent job in summarizing the Umrah in more than 10 minutes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and ability. I think one day, what is your name? Hamad, yeah. One day we should come and do some with some projectors, inshallah. And bring the ihram or bring any plain cloth. We can go for hajj also. Especially during the Hajj session. You know, it's necessary, inshallah. Then you will leave a legacy in your leadership. Adam, do we still have time?
Time?
7 minutes. No. Okay, how many questions? Now I think they become 14.
Yeah. 12.
Ask some of them.
Okay. From Sister Reem, are sisters supposed to jog in the first three rounds as well?
Most of the scholars said jogging or running is not for the sisters, it's only for the brothers. But this one, if she jogged, you might understand. But the best is to follow the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars. You know. The problem, what does she do? She move a bit speedy way. Yeah, because if she's with the husband, when he jog, khalas, he left her. Yeah. Again, so she walk a bit faster, inshallah.
Are sisters supposed to wear socks during Umrah?
Yes, it's okay.
Some people end up wearing shoes during Sa'i. Is it allowed?
I forgot. The one who is making the Umrah, he is not supposed to wear the shoes that covers the feet. He's supposed to wear the slippers, the sandals, only. You know, that's for the brothers only. The sisters, no. They wear the normal shoes.
Sister Aisha asks, what is the most important thing
and
to do?
And one of the things also the brothers cannot do, actually not just the brothers, all of them, they cannot shave, cut the hair during the Umrah. But very short periods of time, and the brothers cannot cover their head, cannot wear perfume after the intention. They cannot hunt. Alhamdulillah, this one, they will never find a place to hunt. Yeah. So these are the things that they should be avoiding in that 2-3 hours.
Sister Aisha asks, what is the most important thing to do in Umrah, and if we miss it, our Umrah is gone?
The Umrah itself. The most important thing is Tawaf and the Sa'i. Yeah, and the intention itself.
From Sister Umrayan, what is something that is unknown in Arabic, muhbab? I think she means mubah.
Mubah?
Mubahum?
Mubahum.
Sister Shafa asks, Ya Sheikh, can a minor sin be repented for by reading istighfar 100 times?
Idhnillah al-Sushallah. The minor sins, when a person repents, generally, it will be gone. The prayers will take them out. The wudu will take them out, inshallah.
Also from Sister Shafa, I have a question regarding trees and the nature we are told about, that these trees cried for the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The trees from the story who called Adhan. With these, do we attribute Hayatul Ruh to these trees or say that it is just part of the
this
karama?
This is just because these things with Rabbul Alameen, they are not jamaat. They're living things. With us, they're jama'at. And they remain like this. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not. Allah talk to them, they reply. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes will let us hear something comes from them. But it doesn't mean they have life like our life. Allah says to sabbih lahu samawati sabu wal ardu wa man fihin. Wa in min shayin illa yusabbihu bihamdi. This book is making tasbih. This phone, this room, these things, everything is making tasbih to Allah. But we don't know how. So we call them jama'at. Yeah, you don't say that if I cut this book, katal to nafs, I kill the soul. You know, yes, Adam.
A sister asks, she's going from KL to Shah Alam. Can she travel without a mahram? Selangor State and KL is close in distance.
It's not travel. KL to Shah Alam. It's not a journey.
Sister Aisha asks, Sheikh, Allah makes wine or alcohol forbidden in Jannah for those who drank it in the dunya. How about if a Muslim repents? Will wine or alcohol be permissible?
Inshallah, he will be able to get everything in Jannah, which he deserves if he repents. Sister, this is the person who doesn't repent. He died without repentance. If he's not careful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might deprive him from getting the wine in Jannah. If he repents, finish?
No. Sister Aisha asks, Sheikh, can eating or drinking something that is haram take a person to hell?
If he doesn't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is under the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as he doesn't make it halal, he doesn't say this is halal to me. But just out of negligence, he ate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is haram, and he died in this situation. So it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him or to take him to hell.
Sister Huda asks, Sheikh, can you recommend some books on women in Islam?
Well, the best book I would recommend for those who read Arabic is the Awdatul Hijab, the Ismaili Muqaddam. For those who are reading Arabic, I don't know, maybe it is translated into English language. It's very good for sisters to read that book. Yeah. Finish. Allahumma lakal hamd. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.